you are always a covered employee. So even if you drop out of the high five, you've been a covered employee in the past. From 2017 onward, you remain a covered employee, and you really want to keep track of that. And you also, there are some myths out there. One myth is, oh, it's just officers. Not in 4960. It's actually a broader group. It's whoever the highest five are for the year. And there are, again, subtractions that might pull things out. But we also have to keep track of the former employees. Somebody left, but, you know, gets a payment a year later because there's some performance metrics that got met in that later year. They get more money. We better be checking them against the other high fives to see if they could be one of the high fives or covered employee, whether they go over the million or something else is going on. Also includes deceased employees. So you kind of have to keep track of payments to the on death. What I find is that if people left halfway through the year or three-fourths of the way through the year, so they had a goodly amount of compensation, and then they get some kind of death benefit or a 457F acceleration on death, that's who could sort of unexpectedly pop into the, you know, the group, or you have to kind of watch. And the other, so all of those are things you have to watch. We would really like to see two spreadsheets. One is the high five for the year, so that you can, if the IRS walks in, you can say, yep, here's who I determined for the year. But then we need a separate spreadsheet to keep track of everybody who has ever been covered. And then we're going to watch that group to make sure what happens if one of them leaves. Somebody has dropped into a lower category. You're not thinking, ah, they're in the covered group. They still are. And then they get some kind of payment. They may suddenly rise. We may have to put that person into the list. If they go over a million, suddenly they're up there. So those are things you just have to watch. Glenn, you want to go to the next slide?
Sure. So here, I think we just have some, if I can get this to work. Go. There we go. So just some plain vanilla examples. The first example is your straightforward situation. You have A, B, C, and D, and E. They're your five covered employees, your five highest paid, and have been since 2017. And then in 2019, you get another five employees who are now your highest paid for that year. So that's, you know, now you have, you know, the point there being that Hotel California, or I like to call it the festering rule, your covered employees keeps festering, and there's nothing you can do about it. So now you have 10 covered employees. But then example two, Karen, I think you're going to throw a wrench in and start to point out some of the complications.
I kind of did. Here we've got the same people, but in 2021, two of them are, they don't look like they're in the top paid group. They've dropped below. One went part-time. Like I said, you want to have that other spreadsheet showing that they're still in the covered group. The other terminated voluntarily. So we're not going to kick in the A2 rules yet, which is the parachute rules. But we do have to watch this person. If you look at this person saying, okay, this person did leave, but it just so happens this person left, let's say, in year 10, when the person's 457F plan would normally have vested. So the person's not being kicked out the door. There isn't acceleration of vesting, but there's a normal 457F plan that vests after being unvested for years. That happens in 2021, and it's going to be paid in a lump sum in 2022. And not uncommon in these plans for the payment to be in 2022, even though it vested in 2021, because of what's called the short-term deferral rule. So something's unvested, vests in 2021, and it can be paid early in within the first 2.5 months of 2022. And that person, this F, will be taxed on the W-2 in 2022. The withholding will be in 2022. But for 4960, we've got to put that person back in 2021 because vesting happened in 2021 as the person on the vesting date. Now we have to count all of his regular compensation for the year plus his 457F amount, even though it got paid the next year. And this is a thing that shocks some of our clients. It also means we have to really ask questions. We need to see the plan when this person vested, because even if we ask for the W-2s, we're not going to get the right information. It's in the wrong year. So that's just one more thing that we have to educate our clients on is, you know, please give us the right information when we ask for it. And please make sure that we have all the information. And Glenn's going to talk about that a little bit later. So, Glenn, the other thing I wanted to throw in here is if we go back to the covered employees, or, you know, to the example, is be sure you know who's working. And we'll talk about this a bit later, but what if G, for example, is actually now working for a related company part-time? We're going to have to know, even there's only one W-2, we may have to count the remuneration from both related entities.